It's Current State on WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. Glad you're along today. St. Vincent Catholic Charities in Lansing is one of the largest human service providers in Michigan. One of its core missions is caring for at-risk children. Some have direct ongoing ties with their parents, while others are in foster care. The organization has just completed its first year of a new clinical assessment program designed to place kids in the best possible care setting. Current State's Kevin Lavery's been looking into the program and joins me now. Kevin, what does comprehensive clinical assessment mean here?
Mark, that's a term that describes a detailed study of a child's physical, emotional, and mental needs. So over the course of 30 days, a team spends time with a particular child to learn about their family lives, how they're developing good social skills, and their behavioral patterns. So I spoke with Jose Carrera, who is the Director of Clinical Services at St. Vincent Catholic Charities, and I asked him how this approach differs from their previous methods.
It was a completely different perspective. So it ends up being that the state might refer a child to residential, or they'd be there for 90 days, at which point in those 90 days, the residential program is supposed to give the state a recommendation, you know, whether it's to go to another residential, to go into foster care. But it was lacking the psychological component. It might include the psychiatric component, but it was lacking the psychological component.
And what's really the difference between those two?
Well, the psychiatric would be more if you have a child that's having attention deficit disorder or it's having some behavioral problems where medication can come in and help. So you end up with a psychiatrist doing the assessment. In some cases, it might make a recommendation for medication. When you're looking at psychological, it's actually looking at other factors that the child might be going through, whether it's anxiety, it's depression, whether it has to do with some processing problems that they might have, that's not necessarily depicted by the psychiatric component as well. It might suggest something, but it doesn't necessarily assess that to that extent. So we want to make sure that we have an individual come in and do a whole battery of tests. Within 21 days, we compile that information, give it to the state. We have a meeting with the state, the DHS worker, and make the recommendation as to if we believe that this will be the next setting for this child, the most appropriate setting. And then by day 30, they're supposed to be leaving the program.
And how in the last year have you tracked your success rate? How do you know you're making the right recommendations, children are getting the right placements? How do you follow up once they've left here?
Well, you can follow it by how many children that leave here end up going back to residential. Granted, it's only been 1 year, so we don't have a longitudinal study to say, by the way, this is so effective that it's saving the state money. We believe that it saves the state money in the sense that you're shortening the length of stay in the residential, and I go back to that's something we try not to do. If we're really looking at what's in the best interest of the child is to keep him residential for as little as possible, making a thorough assessment, making recommendations, and looking for the services that can be provided outside of a residential facility.
Are you learning things about them that you didn't understand or know about them or perceive about them before you undertook this month-long process?
Absolutely. It boils down to many times the children that refer to us might be relatively young. They might be 5, 6 years of age. So the information that we receive from the state might be lacking. We know that in many cases are removed from home. We don't know all the variables. So actually spending the time and getting to know the children, doing the testing, gives us a much better idea of what's taking place with them. And based on that, we can make a recommendation that's a lot more appropriate for that specific child. Changing the staffing ratio to make sure we have 2-to-1 staffing ratio, 2 children for every staff, allows that staff to get to know that child a lot better. Not only that, it allows that child to form the attachments and relationships necessary to be able to create a safe and trusting relationship, which is essential for kids in foster care.
And what feedback do they give you about the way they feel about their own lives shaping up, their own destiny beyond here?
Well, we include the children in all of the behavior plans as well, so they have some say as to what is it they want to work on. We include the families whenever possible. The idea is to actually create an empowering environment for the children so they have more say and they have a sense of control. I know that the children that gone through the program, the ones that we've talked to and the ones that are more vocal, tend to really like the staffing ratio. They feel special. They feel connected. They feel a sense of nurturing and belonging. So we know that from that perspective, we're doing a really good job. The one area that we struggle with is the fact that even though we might make some recommendations that are at least restrictive, the state might be lacking the resources to be able to place them in a least restrictive setting. So just a couple of weeks back, we actually sent another proposal to the state to assist them with that.
You may be doing all you can on your end then, Jose, but once the child goes to the next stage, the next setting, it's a matter of coordinating resources with that next group to be sure that they get the same level or better level of care than what they left.
Absolutely. The idea would be to maximize what's out in the community Having said that, we also know that if the state lacks the resources, for example, if we lack the foster homes, or the therapeutic foster homes, that's something that we'll try to provide. We believe that we can provide the whole array while also maximizing the resources in the community for that specific child, that's the way to go. The idea would be to normalize their life as much as possible.
Being adopted by a set of parents, is that really the threshold in your mind for success? I'm sure there's lots of nuances there. And children now, young adults now, the age at which they can continue to receive foster services have been moved from 18 to 21.
Mm-hmm. Adoption is not necessarily the goal. In many cases, the goal would be to return back home. So then if we're going to return a child that's having some behavioral issues, that is a part of the DHS program or DHS services, we need to make sure that we provide the parent with the skills necessary to be able to properly take care of their child.
Right, again, because not all of them are foster children. They do have legal parents, guardians.
Absolutely. Many of them, the parents are still involved, and our job is to make sure that we do what's necessary to increase the likelihood that they'll return back home. I personally believe that the more children we return back home with necessary supports and we provide the adequate services, the likelihood they succeed is increases. I think foster care would be the second least restrictive setting, and then residential, of course, would be the third.
We're talking with Jose Carrera, the Director of Clinical Services at St. Vincent Catholic Charities in Lansing. If I was one of your young clients, let's say I was 12 or 13 years old and I came from a broken home, maybe there's substance abuse, maybe an absent parent, whatever the issues are, what are the things you're looking for in me that you need to draw out and work on when you're doing this 30-day assessment?
We look at the whole person. It boils down to we try to build rapport, build a trusting relationship with the child, to then start identifying and having the child identify issues with us as to what they need to work on. We also, in some respects, not only work with the child, but we work with the state or with the parents. So it boils down to we have more than one boss or more than one client, and we need to be attentive to all of those.
You've just hit your one-year mark for this program. Has the state or any other agency done some sort of a performance check or a milestone to see where you are in that year?
Yeah, they come back once a year, then they do an audit, and they look at how you're doing, your documentation, making sure you're documenting that, you're providing the type of services you promised the state you would. We believe we're doing relatively well based on the sense that children that leave our program are not going back in the foster care system, or they're not going into residential, so they're going to a less restrictive setting. And once again, we also measure it by the fact that children that have appropriate placement to go and the DHS is able to find that, they're in residential for a significantly shorter period of time. If they were not in the 30-day program, they would be at least in the 90-day program that usually goes well beyond 90 days. It can go from 90 days well to up to a year. And once again, the issue is not because we don't have because the child has not made progress. In some cases, the child might have already made a tremendous amount of progress, and they're starting to plateau, but there's no place for the child to go. So once again, that's where we're looking at a whole array of services.
1 year in, mm-hmm. What tweaks or improvements would you like to see happen?
Well, we're making changes to make sure that we're focusing a lot more on trauma. 97.5% of the children in our services past the age of five are suffering a complex trauma. And that's something that in the last 10 years, you can take a look at a lot of our articles and services that are geared for that. We believe that residential is really good at providing structure, and that's something my residential program does really well. But we need to make sure that we not only provide the safe environment and structure, but we provide the healing process to be able to have these children heal. Not only have the structure necessary, but to heal. So we're becoming a lot more empathic, I believe. We're becoming more nurturing. And for example, this Monday, we're bringing a therapy dog in that's going to be residing in a residential facility 8 of the hours of the day. And the idea, once again, is to make sure that the children, even though our staff can be very nurturing and empathic and attentive, they're not parents, so they don't provide unconditional love, but we can have a puppy in here that can spend some time with the children and give them that sense of belonging and comfort. So we're looking more at trauma and what we need to do to build those attachments to be able to help the child heal from within.
Jose Carrera is Director of Clinical Services at St. Vincent Catholic Charities in Lansing. Jose, thanks for your time today.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.